Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2020. This morning I will talk about the poor in spirit. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh dear Lord, I give thanks that you are ever near me, not too proud to linger with your servant and call me friend. Bless me with your spirit of humility and generosity. Generous in time, generous in friendship, and generous in sharing yourself. Keep me safe from bad company. Keep me safe from pious arrogance. Keep me safe from my own sinful heart. Let me always be ever near to you, now and always, through the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Matthew 5:3 reads, "Honored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus chose his words carefully. If he spoke Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, rather than Greek, the language of the first century church, then the first beatitude could be stated in only 7 words, which aided memorization, a common first century practice because of the high cost of the written word. Because the disciples memorized his words, Jesus could speak plain word games with them, starting sentences and letting them finish them, like a good preacher will pause to let his audience catch up. Jesus also used this technique, common in repressive cultures, in disputing with Pharisees, as in Matthew 21:6, where he cites the first half of Psalm 8, verse 2, and by inference, slams them with the second half. Jesus' careful choice of words and use of word associations helps us interpret the Beatitudes. For example, the first word in the phrase in Matthew 5:3 is, "Honored are the poor in spirit," which brings to mind the first psalm. "Honored is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates night and day." This is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. The phrase "poor in spirit" brings to mind Isaiah 61, where we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The first text, Psalm 1, plainly references the law of Moses, and the second text, Isaiah 61, references a messianic prophecy that Jesus himself cites in his call sermon in Luke 4. Together, by using the word makrioi, that is the Greek for honored or blessed, Jesus associates both the law and the prophets, which for a first century Jewish audience added gravitas. Today's commentators normally highlight the expression "poor in spirit" that is not used elsewhere in the Bible. Luke's version of the Beatitude refers only to the poor, as in, "Honored are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." This is Luke 6, verse 20. Poor here refers not to just low income, but to begging destitution, someone utterly dependent on God. Matthew, unlike Luke, was one of Jesus' disciples, which makes it likely that his phrase "poor in spirit" is more accurate. Taken as a whole, the first beatitude appears hyperbolic for 2 reasons. The first reason is that Jesus uses a form borrowed from case law, "if X, then Y." Using a legal form suggests something like the reading of a will. Second, Jesus associated things not normally associated. Unlike princes, the poor do not normally inherit kingdoms. Kings, those with kingdoms, are not normally humble. Thus, the first beatitude suggests by its form and its content that Jesus is using hyperbole to warm up his audience for what is obviously a serious discussion. The seriousness arises because the phrase kingdom of heaven was previously associated in Matthew with judgment, as in, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is Matthew 3, verse 2. Judgment may be implied in the converse of this beatitude. Do those who refuse to be poor in spirit, that is, the proud, stand in opposition to the kingdom of heaven? Potentially, yes. Two candidates for judgment are almost immediately given. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments in the law and the prophets, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew 5, verses 19 and 20. For those least in the kingdom of heaven are those who teach against the law, and those not to be admitted are those less righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees, according to Jesus' own words. Jesus chose his words carefully. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.